Reading this morning from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Speaking of God the Father, He made it so you could take part in the inheritance in light granted to God's holy people. He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the one who is first over all creation. Because all things were created by Him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. He existed before all things, and all things are held together in Him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the one who is firstborn from among the dead, so that He might occupy the first place in everything. Because all the fullness of God was pleased to live in Him, and He reconciled all things to Himself through Him. Whether things on earth or in the heavens, He brought peace through the blood of His cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies with Him in your minds, which was shown by your evil actions. But now He has reconciled you by His physical body through death to present you before God as a people who are holy, faultless, and without blame. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love, for your promises, for your affirmation, and for the life to which you call us and desire to help us to live. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our spirits to your spirit. Minister to us in ways that we may not even know we have need of. But help us to be aware of another presence of the Holy Spirit moving among us at this time. We pray in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. You've probably already noticed the Salvation Army jumping on this Christmas in July thing. I'm not sure that it ever really fully quit, but it's amazing how the kettles have come out in celebration and also a reminder of so much need, that God has called us to the business of sharing, not just getting to heaven. It's not a matter of when we all get to heaven that it's just going to be, oh, glad I made it. But it's going to be about those we've helped in that journey, those we've encouraged, those that we have done in some small part something that may have triggered something somewhere down the road that will open hearts and lives to the fullness of God's Spirit. This may not seem a scripture that we would think of in relation to Christmas, as far as celebrating Christmas in July. But then again, this time of year is not what we traditionally think of. Certainly we don't have the white Christmas. Thank Ben Crosby for putting that in our heads and others. But when we look to the scriptures and we find that the shepherds were in the fields watching their flocks, Jesus wasn't born in wintertime. Perhaps it was in July. Most suggest that it was probably in spring. The fact is, we don't know when. There are so many things about Jesus we don't know. We don't know what he looked like. But we do know what he was like. We do know what he was about. And that baby born in a manger was not born just to come among us, look around and say, so this is what it looks like on earth, huh? From this point of view. Beam me back up, Lord. Father, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Instead, he lived among us, and he came among us with a purpose. When we look to the scriptures, as we read in that first chapter of Matthew, when the angel was telling Joseph not to be afraid to marry Mary, that the child was the Son of God, and the reminder that you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And as the wise men come there in chapter 2, and as they worship, they have discovered that even the heavens abound with signs and wonders, and that determining, showing that a king has been born in Israel. They've gone on pilgrimage. They mess it up terribly, going to the palace and getting Herod all worked up and other people. But they did finally get it right. And they did finally bring gifts and pay homage. And they got that right too. They brought gifts to Christ rather than they weren't there in front of him passing them back and forth and saying, oh, isn't this wonderful? We found Jesus here, Belshazzar, Melchior, or whatever names we associate with the kings. I've gotten this gift for you. But they gave the gifts, and yet the most important gift they gave was themselves. Paul fleshes things out a bit, doesn't he? As he reminds us that this Jesus who came with a purpose has done just what he came to do. He has died on a cross, and through his shed blood, he has effected forgiveness of sins for each of us. He has brought us salvation. He has brought us a new reconciliation, a new relationship with God. If we were to have read the other scripture that was suggested for this week, we would come to the story of the Good Samaritan as the lawyer had asked Jesus what he needed to do to get eternal life. And he mentioned loving God and loving neighbor. And then he told the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember the story of those who passed by. The man in the ditch. There were suspicions, of course, because robbers often use those ploys to kind of suck people in. And as you investigate, suddenly their buddies are there and you've been mugged. And there, amidst all the distrust, the Samaritan, this hated Samaritan, stops and gives aid. And we have sometimes forgotten what the story of the Good Samaritan is really all about. We think of ourselves as that Samaritan, or we may identify with the priest or the Levite. But in effect, we're the guy in the ditch. We're the ones who are helpless. We are the ones who have been beaten down. We are the ones who have been bound by this world. We are the ones who have need of salvation, need of being saved, need of being ministered to, needing the grace and the mercy to which we may not be entitled. I mean, the guy should have known better than to go by himself on such a dangerous journey. Of course, the Samaritan didn't think a thing about it, did he? Jesus, this despised and rejected one that Isaiah speaks of, has given himself for us. This one who was born as a tiny baby has come for us. I mentioned earlier that we don't know what Jesus looked like. We don't know what God looks like. But Paul says that he is the perfect image of the Father. And Jesus had said, "When, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And Paul writes of how he is the perfect image. He is the perfect likeness of God. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. And look at the qualities and the traits that we see there displayed for the world to see. We are told that even though many in the world don't have a great deal for Christians, that most of them like Jesus. That there's something there, something that is higher than they have attained, something that calls them to more than they are, something that reaches out and calls them in turn to reach out. Because we have likewise been called to bear the image of God. We are to be images. We are to be the likeness of Christ. Indeed, someone has said, the only Bible some people will read is you. If someone sees you, will they see Jesus? Will they see what Jesus is like? Will they see the love of God in you? Will it make a difference in their lives? Back at the beginning of World War II, Martin Niemöller, a preacher, theologian, preached a sermon, "Jesus is my Führer." Needless to say, he was arrested and imprisoned. Hitler thought that within 3 weeks he could break the church and he could control it. And some people he did. Some went underground and some continued to defy him and continued to courageously declare Christ and to love as Christ loved. Leonardo da Vinci in 1495 began his painting of the Lord's Supper. He moved so meticulously and so cautiously that it took him 3 years before he had completed that painting. And when he had finished his work, he called on a trusted friend to give him his honest opinion. And the friend said, "Oh, Leonardo, it's beautiful. And that cup, I can hardly take my eyes off of that cup. It is so real." At which point, Leonardo took his brush and dulled that bright cup. And his friend said, "What? Why did you do that? It was beautiful." And he said, "Nothing, nothing can distract from the image of Christ Jesus." Some have spoken of putting first things first and remembering that Jesus is first, the firstborn of creation, the creator, the one through whom God has created all that is around, the glue that holds it all together. That indeed, we are called to continue his work, making a difference in this world, one face, one person, one light at a time. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love and your call upon our lives. Lord, all too many times we admit that we have failed to love as you have loved. We have not always represented you so well. We have not always pointed as true as we should have pointed. But Lord, we ask your touch, your blessing, your guidance, your empowerment in our lives, that we too would point others to Jesus, and that he would be first, and he would be all in all. In his holy and precious name we pray.